Davies used to preach in early mid 1700s, the great Samuel Davies, friend of the Native Americans, missionary to the slaves. He led so many slaves to the Lord and instructed them in deep doctrines of the faith. Pastor of Patrick Henry and the voice of the Great Awakening in America. And he preached right here in this very area, mostly around Richmond. I come to you this morning with two assumptions. One is that you are like me, looking out upon a darkening moral landscape in this nation, grieved in our spirits over what has become of our nation, and yearning for a new awakening, and knowing that that kind of work of God only comes through a praying people. And the second assumption is that you, like me, because you love the Lord, know the wounds of Christ. And as I've prayed for you earnestly this past week, I sense that even some of you this morning may be here facing the deep sorrows of the Christian life. And so I come bringing to you words from Romans chapter 12. And before we turn there, please pray with me. Oh, sovereign Lord, the God who inhabits eternity, the Lord whose tabernacle is in Salem, you are the Good Shepherd. Your sheep listen to your voice. Your sheep listen to the voice of your Son, Jesus Christ. You know your sheep, and they follow you. Your Son, Jesus, has given us eternal life, and no one can snatch us out of your hand. You, O Father, are greater than all, and your Son has promised us that no one can snatch us out of his Father's hand. Because you, O Father, and your Son, the Lord Jesus, are one eternal God. O Father, I praise you for these precious saints who know you. We pray, O God, that you would have mercy upon our land and mercy upon our lives. We praise you for the love of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you please turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. This is the word of the Lord. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and we tremble joyfully at it. God desires that his children learn the language of steadfast prayer. He wants us to be taught of the Holy Spirit in prayer. The Lord of heaven and earth is not looking for self-appointed prophets who do indeed lead churches in prayer, but only into delusions, since they lead them through their own self-asserted dreams and self-proclaimed prophecies. Moreover, his eyes are not searching the earth for more learned teachers who pray with eloquent yet spiritually vacuous words, and so utter their prayers in a manner that poses no threat at all to their own respected positions of highly esteemed men and of being lauded as masters of self-confidence in prayer. Rather, the Father in heaven seeks those who fear him with all holy desperation in the fear of his name in prayer. He searches the earth for those who have humbled themselves like little children and so cry to him in prayer with the pleading cries of little babes, just as babes plead for the help of their own fathers and mothers. The Lord of glory hears the prayers of the broken, the contrite, and the weeping man. The prayers of the proud man he knows from afar, but his ear draws near to the petitions of the man who is suffering for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel, even as he pleads with God to deliver him from his persecutors. The King of heaven seeks out the prayers of heavenly-minded men who set their prayers on things above, and so on the Christ of glory above, and thus pray with faith according to the invisible things of heaven, and simultaneously count themselves crucified and dead to all of the visible things of this earth. And how shall his little children learn this language of true prayer, the prayer that pleases him? Shall learn it by returning to the, this is from Isaiah, to the law and to the testimony. Since the language of steadfast prayer is the language of God's own word. So the psalmist prayed with desperation for God, since he prayed, "My soul faints for your salvation." And yet the language of the psalmist's prayer was spoken in the language of God's very word. Psalm 119, verse 81. "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word." The language of all true steadfast prayer is the language of Holy Scripture itself. For when the prophet Daniel prayed to God, he prayed steadfastly in the language of God's written word. Daniel 9:13, this is Daniel praying. This is how Daniel prayed. "As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, and yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth." Likewise, Nehemiah, God's prophet to the exiles who had returned from Babylon, prayed with power, to be sure, continuing steadfastly in prayer, to be sure, but he prayed to the Lord in the language of Holy Scripture. Nehemiah 1, 7 through 9, "We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you have commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word." Remember, I pray, the word. that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. And in what manner did the apostles, praying in the earliest days of the earliest church, pray to the Lord? Did they not continue steadfastly in prayer by praying only according to the heavenly language of the God-breathed scriptures? Acts 4, 24 through 26. So when they heard that is, the threats of their persecutors, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said. And now they pray Psalm 2 from the scriptures. Why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Oh, dear saints, dear children of the Father in heaven, do you not desire to learn the language of steadfast prayer? Should you not therefore commit yourselves anew to the learning of the prayers that are recorded for you by the gracious hand of your gracious Father in heaven within the Old and the New Testaments? Is it not a noble thing to aim at the memorization of the Psalms and the Psalter in their entirety, the whole Psalm, as many Psalms as you're possibly able to learn? It takes me a long time. I have to practice, but as many as we can. Should you not only put to memory, but also take to heart in obedience as many of the words of our Lord recorded for us in the Gospels as you can? Should not the vast spiritual valleys and farmlands of your prayers be dug out and irrigated and channeled only according to the spiritual geography of the Holy Scriptures, such that they might be connected properly and ongoingly to the headwaters of the Holy Spirit, and thus flow steadfastly with all of the heavenly power of the Spirit of Christ? O beloved children of the Father in heaven, learn to pray in the Holy Spirit by learning to pray steadfastly in the language of God's holy laws and commandments and gospel, and thus in the fearful worship of the glory of Christ Jesus, risen from the dead and seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms. The apostle commands us to continue steadfastly in prayer. Romans 12:12, again, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. So where then are the soldiers of today's churches? Where are the true mighty men today, who will not faint in the heat of the day and will not turn back in the day of battle? And where are the women of spiritual nobility in the churches who will pray through this present darkness? Where are these loyal daughters of Christ who will pray with him, following him all the way to the cross, and will remain with him in prayer even when others have abandoned him and fled? These are the ones who continue steadfastly in prayer. In ancient times, there were many who did so, who continued steadfastly in prayer. However, the current time faces a desperate lack of such men and women, the crisis of a generation that casts off God, casting down truth in the streets, is upon us in full. And yet the lack of men and women in the churches who know how to pray steadfastly through the current temptations and persecutions is the greatest crisis of all. Let us then learn obedience to this holy commandment of the gospel of Christ in Romans 12:12. Let us learn how to continue steadfastly in prayer by imitating our forefathers in their own steadfastness in prayer. So then we look to Jacob, the father of all of Israel, and learn from him how to continue steadfastly in prayer. For Jacob wrestled with the Lord in prayer, and he continued steadfastly in it, such that the Lord said to him, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said to him, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And I don't think it was a demand, I think it was a plea. "Oh Lord, bless me." And we learn from Moses, the mighty prophet of God, who is with the Lord in prayer, continuing steadfastly in prayer for 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain. And Moses neither ate bread nor drank water during that time, for Christ was his sustenance in prayer, and Christ was his very life in prayer. And after that, we observe the prophet Samuel continuing steadfastly in prayer. For Samuel, although grieved that his people would dethrone God by setting another king of their own over them, still loved his wayward people. And so he said to them in 1 Samuel 12:23, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." The prophet Daniel, too, was a man beloved of the Lord who continued steadfastly in prayer. He knew full well that his daily habitual prayers would be persecuted by the enemies of the gospel, and that they would cast him into the den of the hungry, ravenous lions if he persisted in his prayers to the God of Israel. Yet despite the threat of certain death by a most gruesome form of martyrdom, Daniel continued steadfastly in prayer. Daniel 6:10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." And who in all of history knew the importance of continuing steadfastly in prayer more than our Lord Jesus himself? For he was the man of sorrows. And yet this never discouraged him from steadfast prayer to his Father in heaven. Instead, he was in the habit of departing by himself to the mountain to pray. And when he taught his disciples in parables, he taught them, this is Luke 18:1, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. His disciples then learned from him how to continue steadfastly in prayer. They knew this commandment and they obeyed it fully. Acts 1:14, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." And Acts 2:42, "And they," here's the phrase, "continued steadfastly." They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, plural. The Greek is plural, prayers. And again, Acts 6:4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So where then do we find the Apostle Peter in the 10th chapter of Acts, just prior to this miraculous evangelization of not a few Gentiles in Caesarea? We find him on a rooftop, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Acts 10:9, "The next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." Also, what is it that we find Paul and Silas doing while in prison in Philippi? They are bleeding from their fresh wounds of persecution and suffering greatly in the body with their feet in the stocks. Yet the late hour finds them continuing steadfastly in prayer. Acts 16, 25 through 26, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. It is no wonder at all then that Paul's command to the Ephesians is for them to be found. So here's Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then to the Colossians, this is Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Oh dear Christian, if the Apostle John himself was found in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and thus continuing steadfastly in prayer in the midst of his horrific persecutions on the island of Patmos, even in his very old age, should you not be found steadfast in prayer throughout your current sufferings and tribulations? Oh, hurting brother. Oh, lonely sister, do not give up in prayer. If you have prayed and prayed for your sufferings to be abated and asked the Lord to defend your innocence and rebuke your accusers who are falsely accusing you, and to save the lost and to snatch the wayward from the fire, and to bring his righteousness upon the earth, and yet you have felt as if all of your weeping prayers have gone unanswered, do not give up praying. Instead, continue steadfastly in prayer. For you do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with your weaknesses, but instead, Christ Jesus, your divine and kingly high priest, was tempted as you are in every way, yet without sin. And so he, your high priest, who gathers your tears into his wineskin and records them in his book, his own book, invites you to come boldly before his throne of grace. If you will but continue steadfastly in prayer for just a little while longer without fainting or turning back, he will help you in your time of need, and then in his providential time, shall lift you up into the unspeakable glory of his heavenly courts in his heavenly kingdom. Amen. We are commanded by God with this holy and good commandment: continue steadfastly in prayer. But there are only few who obey this commandment in fullness, because it is a command that demands our sanctification. That is, no man can continue steadfastly in prayer without undergoing the suffering fires of the Lord's sanctification of his soul. His soul must be made holy. For the commandment was written down by Paul, and Paul wrote the commandment within a particular context, and that context demands our being made holy through the fires of Christian suffering. Romans 12:9 through 12. This is the context of the commandment. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. In order to continue steadfastly in prayer, then we must continue steadfastly in holiness, in sanctification, in being made holy. For the apostle commands us in Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And so true prayer requires true love for God. And the true love of God is that which keeps his commandments. That's 1 John 5:3. And true love says, according to Psalm 97:10, you who love the Lord hate evil. Even as it says from Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. But moreover, true love clings to what is good. It clings to God, and it says in prayer from Psalm 119:68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. So this is our sanctification. This is what prayer requires. As Paul writes in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. And thus true steadfast prayer requires learning how to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. That's 1 Peter 4:9. And also learning the joy of obeying this command, Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. In steadfast prayer, we may not be found, or we should not be found, lagging in diligence. This is Romans 12:11 now. But rather fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. For we know that God shall not forget your diligence, in ministering to the saints as you do, with many works and labors of love. And also your fervency in spirit to speak the gospel to others around you with boldness, teaching the things of Christ to as many as would be your hearers. And all of this is not easy, but difficult, because it involves the narrow door and the bleeding road of the cross. This is why continuing steadfastly in prayer is preceded by these two phrases in verse 12. Rejoicing in hope and persevering in tribulation. For our steadfastness in prayer must be a steadfast willingness to gain the crown of sanctified love for Christ through our perseverance amidst many tribulations. Romans 5:2-3. Through whom, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And these are all the prerequisites of prayer. And also Matthew 10:21-22, very difficult verses. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who perseveres to the end will be saved. There was a man of God, a pastor, who visited a certain small, poor cottage on the Isle of Wight in England in the late springtime in the year 1801. He found within that cottage a slowly dying young woman of only 31 years of age. The pastor's name was Leigh Richmond, and the dying young woman's name was Elizabeth Walbridge. She was a simple, poor, unknown young woman, the daughter of an impoverished dairyman. Yet the pastor who visited her in order to comfort her with the scriptures in her dying days found her to be one of the greatest women of prayer to whom he had ever been introduced. When the pastor asked Elizabeth how she was able to face the reality of her impending death in a spiritually upright manner. This was her spirit-filled reply. And this is amazing because he wrote it down, so we have it right here in the books of history. This is what she actually said on her deathbed. Quote, "My present consolations in the prospect of approaching death depend entirely, sir, on my view of Christ. When I look at myself, many sins, infirmities, and imperfections cloud the image of Christ, which I want to see in my own heart. But when I look at the Savior himself, he is altogether lovely. There is not one spot in his countenance, nor one cloud over all his perfections. I think of his coming in the flesh, and it reconciles me to the sufferings of the body, for he had them as well as I. I think of his temptations and believe that he is able to succor when I am tempted. Then I think of his cross and learn to bear my own. I reflect on his death and long to die unto sin so that it may no longer have dominion over me. I sometimes think on his resurrection and trust that he has given me a part in it, for I feel that my affections are set upon things above. Chiefly, I take comfort in thinking of him as at the right hand of the Father, pleading my cause and rendering acceptable even my feeble prayers, both for myself and, I hope, for my dear friends." Yet her prayers were anything but feeble before the eyes of the God who loved this impoverished, dying daughter of his. Instead, they were written down by Pastor Richmond and eventually published by the Religious Tract Society of England, and over 10 million copies of the book containing her dying words and dying prayers, the book simply and wisely entitled The Dairyman's Daughter, went out into all of the world in many different languages. Thousands of lost souls were converted to Christ by the reading of that book. Elizabeth Walbridge, this poor nobody Christian, prayed to God with a faint, dying whisper. But her whispered prayers were more powerful than any military in the world. They were powerful enough to shake the nation in which she lived and to shake other nations as well. Where then did Elizabeth obtain so much power in prayer? Was not the source of her powerful praying her exceptional and extraordinary sanctification in Christ? Continuing steadfastly in prayer requires both rejoicing in hope and persevering in tribulation. Elizabeth's willingness to persevere in the sufferings of Christ out of her deep joy in the fear of Christ and in the knowledge of, as you heard her say, his divine attributes and resurrected and ascended glory caused her to continue steadfastly in prayer to the great approval and pleasure of her blessed Father in heaven. O precious Christian, are you willing to suffer with Christ ongoingly in prayer? Do you love him so? Are your affections set upon him so much so that you are willing to persevere in prayer through many tribulations in order to enter the kingdom of God? Your suffering shall not be in vain. It shall sanctify your prayers, and then your prayers shall be steadfast, and the Lord shall be pleased to accept them as incense, as a sweet aroma before the throne of his glory in heaven, and thus shall employ your prayers, even the feeble prayers of such an unworthy servant of his as you feel yourself to be, in matters that pertain to his jealousy for his own glory, even the matters that shake heaven and earth. How then shall we pray? How shall we continue steadfastly in prayer? The Holy Spirit, in His divine wisdom, gave the commands of Romans 12, 9 through 12, in a series of ins. That is, the divine commands are all found in something. In brotherly love, in honor, in diligence, in spirit, in hope, in tribulation, and thus in prayer. And all of this, then, is a spirit of prayer that is prayed only when we ourselves are in Christ. We continue steadfastly in prayer by remaining in Christ in prayer. What we mean is that we cannot continue steadfastly in prayer if we do not imitate Christ in prayer. We ask, therefore, in what manner did Christ Himself pray? How did our Lord Jesus Himself continue steadfastly in prayer? So let us then learn from Christ, our Lord and our God, by hearing Him pray in Scripture. So, for example, hear the voice of Christ praying in the book of Psalms. And so imitate Him in prayer when we continue steadfastly in prayer. You read the Psalms, you hear David, but when you read the Psalms and you draw close to Christ, you hear the voice of Christ in the Psalms. Psalm 31, 11 through 12, I'm a reproach. Think of the cross. I'm a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and I'm repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I'm forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. And again, hear the voice of our Lord praying steadfastly in Psalm 69. Reproach has broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. And then in the New Testament, what do we hear Christ praying? As He continues steadfastly in prayer on the way to the cross, what does He pray? He prays John 12, 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. And so it is written of our Lord as He continued steadfastly in prayer. This is the heart of prayer in the Gospels, Luke 22, 44. And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. Then His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. We then continue in Christ as we continue in prayer. We watch Him in the days of His flesh. This is how Hebrews paints it. Offering up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. And tears to Him who was able to save Him from death. And so we learn how to continue steadfastly in prayer. For Christ was heard of the Father because of His perfect, sinless, steadfast prayer to the Father. And so we cry out for the Spirit of Christ to keep us in Christ while we continue in prayer. For the Spirit is He who helps us in our weakness. Romans 8, 26, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself. So it's all very Trinitarian then. Makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so as we continue steadfastly in prayer and abide in prayer, we do so only by continuing steadfastly in Christ and abiding in Christ. For He has spoken and said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. And so those who continue in prayer without continuing in Christ have been cast out of the vine of salvation. They may pray even in the name of Christ, but if they do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, then they never really have been born again and are only praying their way into the fires of hell. where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But we are not of those who shrink back, but of those who continue steadfastly in Christ, abiding in Him. And so we shall, by God's grace, bear fruit in prayer, as our Lord has spoken. Last scripture for the morning, John 15:7-11. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you would be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Oh, dear Christian pilgrim, sometimes wounded so badly by the fierce persecuting blows of the evil one, and discouraged by the mournful remembrance of all of the brethren who once promised to walk beside you to the journey's end, but who turned back from the way as soon as it became costly or dangerous, do not yourself turn back. Do not give up praying for the salvation of lost souls and begging God for the miracle of a spiritual awakening in this land, such that the fear of his name would fall upon his children with the might and power of the thundering storm winds of heaven. Continue steadfastly, O church, in prayer. For if you remain steadfast in Christ in prayer, then you shall see the heavenly fruits of your steadfastness, and those heavenly fruits shall taste of the sweetness of the tree of life, and thus be your everlasting heavenly joy. For the suffering prayers of God's true saints are seeds sown in this life of many sorrows, which in the end shall cause the saints to reap a harvest of unspeakable joy. We go forth praying and weeping, but we shall return gathering in the sheaves of everlasting blessing. Our sorrow lasts through this brief, temporal, mortal night, but our joy shall come at the heavenly dawn of Christ's everlasting morning. And so we shall continue steadfastly in worship in Christ, in heaven, with the steadfast love of our God and Father always upholding us, and the unbroken joy of Jesus our Lord reigning over us in his eternal kingdom of peace, and the Spirit's voice, as the prophet says, answering us even before we call to him in prayer, with all of God's holy angels and all of the saints who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb beside us. Time eternal, splendor unfading, love everlasting, world without end. Amen. Please pray with me. Blessed Father, keep us in your love, O God. Keep us in Christ, in your love. I pray that you would keep these precious saints in Christ, in your love. In Jesus' holy name.
Thank you, Pastor Fan. God bless you. You bet. This is our hymn of invitation, so let's all stand together as we sing.